over the years, we've looked at education for blind and partially sighted people. Now, that's from nursery right through to university. And we look at things like accessibility of IT, coursework, even independent mobility around campuses and buildings. But there's still a great deal of work to do, and with many heading back to places of education, it's probably more important than ever. Now, RIB and Thomas Pocklington Trust have been looking at this, and we've got some news on some new guidance as well. We have with us Tara Chataway from Thomas Pocklington Trust and Kieran Sutherland from RIB. Kieran, I'll come to you first of all, because I just wanted to touch on issues around the number of qualified teachers of visual impairment, because they are important, and that whole transition period as well from school to further higher education, they are very much sort of intertwined.
Absolutely, yes, they really are. And we would hope that most blind or partially sighted students have had access to a QTVI, qualified teacher of vision impairment, throughout schooling. Anybody with an education healthcare plan, that support should absolutely continue and be outlined in that education healthcare plan what they are entitled to. So we would really advocate that QTVIs must be involved as students transition into new placements, so that the support carries with them and enables them to access things, but also to continue on their journey, if you like, of becoming ever more independent in accessing learning and moving into adulthood. We do worry that as students move into further education, some of that support does not translate and you do not get the same levels as you get in school. But it's an absolutely crucial time for students, and in some ways that support is needed even more. And I guess a message that I would say, and I expect Tara will probably agree, is that planning for transition cannot start early enough. Involving that QTVI in the plans, the discussions, even the vague ideas of what you might want to do as a student, the earlier those start and the plans can be put in place, the more chance there is of a successful transition.
Yeah, I mean, when you turn 16, it's you know, a really important part of stage of your life, isn't it? It's when you start to become more independent, you make friends, you start thinking even more about, well, what is it that I want to do when I'm 18? What is it when I want to do when I become an adult? We know through the longitudinal study that, unfortunately, when many students, blind and partially sighted students, enter into mainstream college, then they can often become stuck repeating the same level courses, staying there for longer. And unfortunately, statistics show that many do become NEET, so not in employment or education or training, when they become 18 plus. So what the guidance that we've worked on with RNIB for really is about talking through those college lecturers, the disability support staff, a number of questions that they can start asking themselves about whether or not they are putting all the steps in place to enable that blind, partially sighted student to be independent and to engage meaningfully with their studies. And part of that is those ongoing conversations with the QTVI, and also those ongoing conversations with the student, and really asking, sitting down with them and working out what's working for them in the course, what's not working, and starting to unpick some of those barriers, so that the student, when they finish college at the age of 18, 19, that they're then equipped to go into employment or onto university, whatever it is that they decide.
Really important to, as you say, include the students there, because they are the ones that will tell you, this is the type of assistive technology I need for the coursework. I may need it in this format. Can I get information ahead of this particular topic? There probably is a lot to take into account. But it's not difficult what's being asked, though, is it? But you would think by now, though, things like this would be second nature to sort of further and higher education establishments.
We're not asking for a lot of extra things, but it does fall through a gap. And I think you make a really good point there about involving the student. We work really hard as QTVIs to encourage students to self-advocate and say what they need, what their requirements are, so that they're not reliant on adults speaking for them. And I think as you transition to post 16, that's even more important that they take that responsibility. We do find that often the nature of the work changes quite significantly in post 16. And so some of the adaptations and the things that are needed shift a bit, and we rely on students to tell us the impact of that on them with their vision impairment, you know, whether they need more support and they need it in a different way. So we really do absolutely rely on the students to tell us what they need and what they want, what they, how they want to shape that support moving forward.
Tara, it's important to say as well, you know, it isn't all difficulties out there. There are some great examples of places where, you know, they really hit the nail on the head in terms of accessibility. There's lots of support there. So, you know, we don't want to scare people, but there are some really good examples out there. There are, of course, still things that can be done to improve the situation. And again, you know, that's what the guidance is for. So what sort of form does the guidance take, Tara? How can people find out more about it?
So the guidance is hosted on Thomas Pocklington Trust's website, and the idea with the guidance is that the main audience is professionals, but we also think that it could be used by students and their parents as well, to have a read through and then to take to their college and say, look, these are some of the things that you could be doing. So we've tried to design it so it's as helpful as possible. So it identifies some of the areas of support that a blind or partially sighted student might need. Then it's full of links and resources to information from RNIB's website and Guide Dogs and other websites. And it also includes some top tips of how the college might want to think about providing that support. And it also has some questions, like a checklist, that each section they can go through the checklist and just ask themselves, have we done this? Have we had this conversation with the student? Have we spoken to the QTVI? Have we spoken to the lecturer? Is this information really accessible? How are they accessing the information? All those kind of questions. So some sections will be more relevant than others. So the idea is that the college, the member of staff, can just go through the document and take the bits that are relevant. So just because a college might have supported one student with vision impairment, it doesn't mean the support they put in place is right for another student. So it's so important to draw upon the professional support and guidance that's out there. So you can go to pocklington-trust.org.uk/student-support, and that will take you to the landing page of all of our student support resources. And if you click on the tab for resources for professionals, it sits there, but it also will take you through all of the other resources that we have and links to RNIB, Guide Dogs, Look UK and other support that might be out there for students.
A whole host of information for students of all ages, of course, on the website. Please do take a look at those. For the moment, though, to Tara and to Karine, thank you both for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you.